Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wolverine.com podcast. My name is Chris Ballas. With me, Doug Skeen, Michigan's five-time All-Big Ten. Well, I'm sorry, five-time Big Ten champion, one-time All-Big Ten offensive lineman who actually played in the pros. Played for New England and Bill Parcells and is an expert on all things Michigan, including coaching transitions, buddy. And so you're kind of familiar with this. And I remember when I was in school, you know, we all lived vicariously through you guys. You know, we 5'8 guys who couldn't play football at that level. And when Bo Schembechler left, we were heartbroken. I can only imagine how it was for you guys.
Yeah, we felt the same way. I mean, it wasn't all that surprising given the time of Coach Schembechler's career and the health concerns and all the things that people remember from that era. It wasn't all that surprising, but it didn't dissipate the amount of disappointment that we had as players. And there were two things. The upperclassmen felt, I think, a little bit differently than we did, because at that time, just as with Jim Harbaugh today or Coach Sharon Moore now, when you come in as a young guy, there's a different feeling than you have as a junior or senior or a veteran guy. And so myself and my classmates, we got the freshman and sophomore experience of Bo Schembechler and his staff, which was not easy, Ballas. It was a very challenging and difficult environment to walk into the building. You know, the era was different, right? And so it was very, very challenging. But we saw how the veteran guys and their relationships with the coaches, including the head coach at that time, were a little bit different. And we aspired to get there, which we did get there, right? We got there with Coach Moeller. We had a lot of fun. We won all those championships. It was great. But we wanted that same relationship with Bo that we never quite got to because he had to step away. It's all fine now, but there's a disappointment, right? So I'm guessing that today in Ann Arbor, there's some guys that feel the same way. They wanted to get to that veteran status on Jim Harbaugh's team, and the relationship just changes in the course of time when you're on the roster, and your skills and your development and your presence on the field and off the field, it changes and the relationships deepen. And so these guys didn't have that opportunity because things happen. Yep. Coach Harbaugh is now gone, and now Coach Moore gets to be the one who tries to develop those relationships.
Yep, and you guys knew it was going to be Gary Moeller. How important was it, the continuity, and how similar was it, I guess, in the building after that and going into the next season with Gary Moeller in charge? I would imagine, obviously, you guys had respect for Gary Moeller, and we all did, right? But Bo Schembechler's at a different level. But were things in terms of day-to-day stuff pretty similar, and how important was that?
Well, there's two things that when I look at this scenario with Coach Harbaugh leaving and what we went through with Bo and the transition to Moeller, pretty different scenario here, Ballas. So when Coach Schembechler left, the staff virtually did not change. We had the same. Mike Gittleson was still our strength coach. The assistant strength coach is the offensive line coach, Hanlon, Les Miles. The defensive staff all but stayed the same. Lloyd Carr, there was very little change in feel to all of those relationships. And so that allowed us to feel like, okay, this is not going to be a dramatic shift in fundamentals and who we are and what this program is all about, because the only guy that really left was Bo. And so we just had a feeling like, oh, this is going to be the same. And yet it wasn't the same in the regard that Moeller installed a new offense. We started zone blocking. The conditioning was different. We're going to run no huddle. So the on-field football stuff changed pretty dramatically, I think. Not entirely fundamentally, but pretty dramatically. And obviously for the better, it worked out really well for us. But the one thing that carried us through was my position coach didn't change. You know, Coach Gittleson was still in the weight room. And so it was life moved on. And so the big difference now, obviously the strength and conditioning coach changes. Looks like Minter's gone. Looks like Jay Harbaugh's gone. And there could be others. We don't know yet because Coach Moore has not announced his staff. And those are big deals, right? Those are much bigger deals when your position coach leaves. And now you throw in the NIL and the portal opportunities. And this is why it's so much different today for a big coaching change. And Coach Moore's got to get this staff in place to calm the concerns down there amongst his roster, assuming there's probably some, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't want these guys hitting the portal because they can. They can leave at the click of a button. And so it's a lot different now than it was then. It's concerning because we got to retain the talent. We want to keep these guys in the roster and bring in the other guys to be the next stars at Michigan.
Yeah, and personnel is huge. And speaking to parents and kids and stuff like that, and they're saying, you know, the money is one thing. And these guys were taking a pay cut, frankly, to play here last year. You and I will talk about that in a minute. We know some of these stars were making less than $100,000, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a big deal when they're now getting offered 5-10 times that, right? Okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But to me, a lot of people are talking on the message boards and people are saying, well, a strength coach is a strength coach.
Oh, and, boy. Oh, that's right. No.
As someone with experience, I want you to tell people how stupid that is.
Yeah, well, it's not stupid as much as it is just ignorant. You just don't know.
Yeah.
So those football players in Schembechler Hall spend more time with the strength and conditioning staff than they do with their position coach by far. You're in that building every day grinding and you're working, and the relationship and the comfort level and the motivational factors and all of those things with that head strength coach and his staff is critical to how you then launch into spring football, and critical how you develop over the summer and how you launch into fall football. And if it weren't for Mike Gittleson, for all the decades he was there, all those banners of all those years inside Schembechler Hall, they may not be there. That's no disrespect, obviously, to Coach Schembechler and all the other coaches, but Mike Gittleson, you talk to all the guys, talk to guys in the 97 team, talk to guys that preceded us in the late 80s, early 90s that were there with Mike. The vast, vast majority still to this day contact Mike Gittleson to see how he's doing, because what he turned us into physically and mentally, that we could do anything because of the time we spent with him. It is an enormously important position. And I'm not saying the new guy can't do it well, the new guy that's been named down there in Ann Arbor. I hope he does really, really well. But it's a big deal, and Coach Moore said so, that was a big loss when Herbert left.
Yeah, Justin Tress is the guy who takes over. He's 28 years old, and it was explained to us that guys love him, but he's more like a brother figure, right, than a father figure. And when things go poorly, when you've got that guy on the sideline, how many times did people talk about Ben Herbert and what the X factor he was and everything else? And it's hard to blame him. Now, I got a call on Friday night when I was out to dinner from a mutual friend of ours and a source in the building who was actually there, and said that Herbert, hey, he committed to staying with Chiron in part because he hadn't gotten the deal that he was looking for from Los Angeles. It sounds like they really ponied up. But strength coaches in the pros compared to strength coaches in college, Skeen, talk about how different they are, because these guys are not working full time in the NFL. You guys are working with these guys today, are working with their own guys for the most part, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a different. And again, I played in the NFL a long time ago, but even then, the relationship that I had with the strength coach in New England there, Johnny Parker, who was really good, had a lot of fun with Johnny, but it was different. There's a lot of more individual time spent. A lot of players nowadays have their own strength and conditioning advisors or consultants. They depart from their program and go to Arizona or Texas or Florida, wherever they go to these specialized training programs, or they just do it on their own wherever they are. So it is a different feeling. And the development ballast from the time you're 18 when you arrive as a freshman to the time you leave when you're 20 or 21 years old is that ramp up and that development curve of learning how to train as an athlete coming out of high school is so huge. You learn how far you can take yourself. And now with the science and the technology they have available for young athletes today is so specialized, the dramatic improvements. We didn't have all the science and the tech, but the dramatic improvements were still there. It's about taking your brain and your body to areas that you never thought possible. So when you leave Michigan or you leave Texas or you leave Alabama, you've learned how to do these things. And when you get to the NFL, now it's about learning how to be a pro and doing on your own more than it is with the other 100 guys doing the team runs until you barf. Guys are losing their composure and you're learning how to be mentally tough. And so it is a different relationship. So Herbert, as a Chargers strength coach, he'll have a different experience with professional athletes who've been doing it a long time, doing it their own way a long time, than he did taking a young guy at Michigan who he's got and demanding that he show up and train and the team atmosphere. It's just a little bit different.
Any truth to the fact that you guys just did push-ups, sit-ups, and occasional curls in the NFL back then, or, you know, took summers off and then came back? That was a long time ago. I remember what Ron Kramer and those guys told me.
I didn't play that long ago.
I thought maybe like throwing a medicine ball back and forth a couple of times.
There was definitely a training program in place in the NFL. Yeah. It was different. Mm-hmm. The fundamental, at that time, we did a lot of different strength training and exercise, high intensity stuff at Michigan, mm-hmm. to momentary muscle failure, which, by the way, if for anybody that's ever done that, is very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and produces a lot of vomit from a lot of guys. But it produces, callus up here, right? And that callus carries you on into the fall when you're in your stance and your legs are sore. You just have a mental toughness about you. And that's how these guys are built. And so the strength and conditioning coordinating staff is critically important, that it be a good one, that it be an encouraging one. You talked about a brother relationship versus a father relationship. And I would say that the relationship that we had with Mike Gittleson was very much a drill sergeant relationship. And then the brotherly friendly stuff came after your time was done at Michigan.
Okay.
Until then, we still tell stories about having to get on the scale when you come back from spring break and weigh-ins and the runs that we did and seeing guys to this day that we still kind of joke with a little bit about, with things that happened inside an empty Michigan stadium, running up and down those stadium stairs, up and down until guys were passing out and barfing, and the things that they would say. And these are guys, openly crying because we were being tortured mentally and physically. I'll never forget. I'll share this story. This is just kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
The team was training in the old indoor building, which is now, it's not the Glick, but the old one that's attached there. That was our indoor building. And we had a normal 1 hour run, which were always grueling. But at the end, Gittleson lined us up on the goal line and we were doing 40 yard dash sprints as a team by group, offensive line goes, the defensive backs goes, defensive groups. You break the team up into position groups. But anyway, Gittleson said to us, all right, everybody, one more if it's good. If you all sprint through the line one more, then the run is over. So we all are like, oh, yeah, here we go, right? Here we go. We all get down on the line, the whistle blows, and we all take off sprinting. And this is after a one-hour grueling run. So each group finishes, and we're all expecting to be done. And Gittleson goes, I think you're better than that. I think you're better. One more. This is the last one. One more if it's good. So we all get back on the line, and now we're really going. Everything we got left in the tank. And yet it wasn't quite good enough. I think you're better than this, Michigan. You're better. One more. Just one more if it's good. One more if it's good went on for 42 more sprints.
Oh, my God. He's crazy. 42 sprints?
42 more sprints. And this was, and I'll never forget this. This is when he was testing us.
Yeah.
to see about our resolve as a group, right? And we had guys that were losing their composure, screaming at each other like, come on, what's wrong with you? Pointing fingers at one another, accusing somebody else of not sprinting through the line or giving it their all. And Gitelson was just watching us to see how we would respond. And the leaders at the time, at that time, I think I was a junior, maybe we were seniors. We knew what was going on because we had the relationship. We knew Mike was testing us.
Right.
And so we had to get the guys to calm down and just go. Just keep your focus, think, and perform. And those things were multiplied. Every time we trained with him, he would test you mentally as much as he would physically. And so we got through that. Guys stopped crying. And at the end of that run, we were a different team. We were tougher. Amazing.
It's amazing the debates that we had, you know, like, oh, he's not doing the right list, the Olympic list versus that. And we would always try to tell people it is so much more than that when you are asking a guy to prepare a team, right? And there is something to it. I remember Dahani Jones going to the NFL and saying, no, you know, this is not the way we're supposed to do it. And his strength coach saying, well, this is going to make you better and stronger. And it did. At the same time, Dahani, you know, he admitted it. He said, okay, you know what, I'm stronger. I'm maybe a little faster. But he always came back to Mike Gitelson and what he did with you guys mentally as well in terms of getting you guys prepared. So
there's more than one way to get physically and mentally ready. You know, Mike's program at the time was high intensity interval training, and in the momentary muscle failure, you did one set of an exercise until you couldn't do it anymore. Then you had to keep going with some help. And there was, you know, a fundamental opinion about all these things, but I think the results of our teams speak for themselves in that we ran past people. We were in better shape. We were mentally tougher than everybody. We knew we just knew we were going to win because we were better prepared than you physically and mentally. And so Gitelson was outstanding. They named the position for him. The impact he had on Michigan football is still being felt to this day. And so even as an old guy now, Ballas, I go out and I do a physical task. Tracy and I went out to go cross-country skiing the other day, and I ended up falling four times. I'm just falling all over the place. In my intuition, after the fourth fall, and by the way, falling now at 53 and a half years old hurts more than it did when I was 23 and a half. I took my skis off, and I just started walking with them, and I was pissed. And I'm walking, and I'm walking, and I walked, and then I thought, what would Gitelson say right now if you saw me doing this?
Twitter.
I put my skis down and finished the ski. I didn't fall again. But these are the kinds of things that never leave this brain because it's been seared in there with an iron. And this is what a strength coach can do to a group of young guys.
Yeah. We'll be back with the second hour of the Doug Skeen Show here in a minute. So, is there anything else? I'm just going to go get a snack, and I'm just going to say something and let you talk. And I'm kidding, of course, man. You know I love these stories, and I could listen to them forever. Did you guys have, like, a separate freight scale for the linemen? I mean, there
true
were some
story. This is a true like story. Stepanek. So, when we arrived in Ann Arbor, the weigh-in scale was, which of those big, you know, huge scales, had the big needle that went all the way around. I think the thing stopped at like 320.
Okay.
Right. And so Gitelson, Greg Skrepanek is one of the largest human beings you'll ever meet in your life. Skrep used to peg that thing and it would piss off Mike. So finally, Gitelson had Jim Plocky. I think it was Jim, and Jim's still at Ann Arbor now, still at the program. His wife is obviously the gymnastics coach, and ended up taking Scrap down to the grain elevator in Ann Arbor somewhere where they weigh trucks.
What was the number? Do you know the number?
Scrap maxed out. I think the heaviest I ever saw him. Well, after that, when we had to take Scrap down, or they had to take Scrap down to weigh him in on the grain elevator or whatever that heavy duty scale was. Of course, Scrap never heard the end of that from us.
Yeah, because
the fat guys are always ripping on each other.
Sure.
But we got a new scale. And the new scale, went up to 400 pounds.
Wow.
And so that's when Scraphead and the rest of us were weighing in on the new scale, and Gitelson had it calibrated, and we were in fear of that thing.
I can imagine.
But those were good times, Ballas. Again, all in an effort of shaping individuals and part of a team the importance of a strength coach is, cannot be understated.
Yeah, that's for sure. It is interesting. You were kind of between eras there. The right when men were men, it's like when the guys in the NFL were like smoking on the sidelines and grabbing a bottle of bag whiskey underneath their bench and taking a sip and then looking at each other with no teeth and calling each other names.
That was not my era, Bowles.
All right. Well, it's disappointing to me because that's what I think of when I think of you, because you're a throwback, right?
So, yeah.
However, you were still good in your own right. So up until you got your knee destroyed by Chester McLaughlin. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some staff changes and stuff here. There's no question that losing Jesse Minter is a blow. Jay Harbaugh, outstanding special teams coach. Losing him was a blow. Alabama was, everybody's looking back at that. Oh, you know what? Big deal. This guy had an outstanding career as a special teams coach and as a safeties coach. So what's the concern here with these guys leaving in terms of continuity? Because you know what? You need to set Sherrone Moore. If you're going to promote a guy like that with no experience, you got to have as much experience around him as possible in continuity.
The continuity is the system itself. So mm-hmm. you had Mike McDonald, who's now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks 2 years ago. And the system that the defense that he built post Don Brown, that is the system that must continue, because this is the buy-in that you've seen from this defense in the last few years. It's been awesome to see this defense develop, mature, replace stars with new stars, guys that come in and are productive and have the pressures on the quarterback and the familiarity within the system. It doesn't surprise me that Minter's leaving if he ends up officially on the Chargers staff, which is, by the way, where I would expect him to show up. That guy had NFL aspirations anyway. And I think he was destined to be an NFL guy, a lot like McDonald was before. And personally, I believe for the reasons of, again, and I keep saying this, if I were a young football coach, I would want to be in the NFL. That's where I would aspire to be, because of the fair playing field, the way the rosters are built, and you don't have to deal with NIL or transfer portal stuff. You know you got players, et cetera. So it doesn't surprise me one bit that we're going to have to replace. Now, Coach Harbaugh has already been, apparently, I read that Coach Moore has already been, you know, talking to, obviously, Jim. Who's going to be the next defensive coordinator to continue the same program? And you can put your own little spin on it, but the fundamentals are the same. The language and the way you change your language, but you're doing the same X's and O's. That's the most important part. And when you lose too many assistant coaches, suddenly maybe it's a problem that maybe you lose that system or the faith in that system that it's going to continue. And that's when guys now can just go, you know what? I just won the national championship, and I think I'm going to be in the NFL in another year or two. And boy, my dad and my uncle have been getting phone calls from all these schools offering me 10 times more money than I'm making in Ann Arbor. I'm just going to click the portal button and see you later. Goodbye. That's my worry, Ballas.
Yep. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen now in this 30-day window because guys are in class and really kind of entrenched. But there's another portal scheme at the end of spring ball where that opens up and they're going to have an opportunity. And if things don't go extremely well in spring ball, for example, with a receiver and a quarterback, if they don't have a quarterback yet, this kid can say, hey, I can go to Oregon where they're going to throw me the ball 10 times a game. You know, I worry about Colston Loveland, for example, in that respect. I worry about guys, although they did just promote Kirk Campbell to offensive coordinator, which I like. He and Sherrone Moore were joined at the hip. And I understand everybody's going to be like, oh, they needed to go out and blah, 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 blah. But to me, again, continuity is a big thing. It'd be different, right, if they didn't have a bunch of experience and help build this culture to where it is. But Kirk Campbell was a huge part of that, and I'm happy for the guy. I think he'll do a great job. So it would be great to get some fresh minds there in there as well. You know, maybe another passing game coordinator, a Jed Fish from back in the day, who's now we see an outstanding offensive mind, and he's at Washington after turning things around at Arizona. So, but I like that. And so hopefully it'll work, but nothing's going to work unless you have a great offensive line, buddy. And nope, to me, this is where I have some concern, and I would imagine you do too, when you have to replace just about everybody. In fact, everybody.
Well, it is. It's not a dismissal of the capabilities of these new faces. You know, Al Hadi probably is the most experienced lineman coming back now because he's played a lot of football. Didn't play a ton last year because we didn't have the injuries last year, which again ties back to the effectiveness of your strength staff. So he probably comes in as the most decorated lineman, but just the fact that these guys don't have the time spent together in the games. Obviously, they got 100, you know, 1,000 reps or whatever in practice together. That's important. But the inexperienced game time is where it's going to show, and it's going to show early in the season. Chances are it's going to show. Statistically, historically speaking, it's going to show. We can go back to 30 years ago when we played. We had four of the five linemen in our last year. We all left. The only returner was Trezell Jenkins. The guys behind us were good football players. They just didn't have the game experience. So there's a little bit of learning curve that happens. And sometimes those things results in first downs that are not earned, hits on your quarterback until you kind of figure it out as a group. And that's just what's coming here for this fall. And yeah. I have no doubt that Coach Moore understands that, and his whole offense understands that, and they'll have to cater what they're going to do offensively to let this O-line develop. Yeah. But back to the portal thing, and then, you know, they have to have confidence coming out of spring that they're heading in the right direction, that they're in a familiar system that they can succeed in. And so all these guys don't just hit the button and bail to go somewhere else and chase something else.
Yep. And they've got a kid coming in from Northwestern who's played a lot of football. You and I are going to break down his film here in a couple of weeks on a separate podcast, and I'm going to have you help me out with that. So your thoughts on Grant Newsom as an offensive line coach? I think he's 27 years old. I think he did a pretty good job with the tight ends. I saw some pretty good tight end blocking and improvement. Eric All was fantastic in that area, and I thought those guys got better this year. So, but he's going to obviously have Sharon Moore right there with him as well. So I would imagine that's going to help when you have.
Yeah, Grant was a hell of a player before he got hurt, right? And so he was going to be an NFL guy all day long. He stayed in Ann Arbor and developed his skills. You know, and the age thing amongst college football coaches now, and we just mentioned 27-year-olds for Grant, I think it's part of the culture now in college football, right? I think the players gravitate toward younger guys. There's a relationship there, and you know, the old football coaches don't seem to be hanging around as long as they used to, right? And maybe because they've got a gazillion dollars now and they don't need to hang around because they're being paid so much money. I don't know. The age doesn't concern me. It's the development, like you just mentioned, and the performance that we look for. So how did the tight end group block, and how did they do as a unit? And I feel pretty comfortable with that transition. Jim Harbaugh has said publicly about how well Grant came along as a tight ends coach and how well he did with that group. Sharon Moore obviously knows what he's doing offensive line. He's not going to turn that unit over, the one that he had in his personal hands, to someone who's going to screw it up. That ain't going to happen. So I would expect that this offensive line development is going to continue under Grant's watch, and they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I would think so too. So we'll find out soon enough, and spring ball is going to be huge for all these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Especially you look at the tackles, and you know what? It's not like they don't have any pieces to work with. Miles Hinton is back. Right. He's going to start. Yeah. So Miles Hinton, El Hadi, Greg Crippen has played some football here.
He has.
I've liked some things that I've seen from him at center when he's been out there. Raheem Anderson's going to have an opportunity, and he's played some decent football. He took a step back.
And Raheem was a really talented, nasty kid coming out of Detroit. Cass Tech. Played Cass Tech kid. I liked his high school film because the dude enjoyed putting dudes on the ground. Yep. Now, you know, he's speculated to be a center. Could be an easily – if you play center at Michigan, you know guard at Michigan. If you play guard at Michigan, you know center. And if you don't know center, you got to know tackle. Right. It's the interchangeability of your top seven guys. It's required. So you might see Raheem in this lineup, but we're going to find out this spring.
We are. I do like the thoughts of what they bring back on defense, Skeen. You know, if you look starting with the defensive line, I think they're going to win you a lot of football games, right? If you can bring back Derek Moore, Josiah Stewart, and then those three interior guys, not just Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, but
Rashawn Benny. Well,
Rashawn Benny broke his leg. Yeah. Sorry, Rashawn. I had your name on the tip of my tongue there, but then you're looking pretty good and you still have to develop some depth, but you got an Ernest Hausman at linebacker. Who's played a lot of football. Will Johnson back there, Rod Moore. That could be a really, really good defensive football team.
Yeah. You got the core, and right, if you want the middle of the defense is stout, and you can let that middle linebacker run to do some things, that's where you begin all the time. Because if you're weak in the middle, nothing else matters. And if your offensive line on the other side is weak, nothing else matters. It doesn't really matter how great your quarterback is and all these other wide receivers. That's important, obviously. But if the O-line and D-line are not strong, you're going to have problems and limitations everywhere else. We've learned that over the last 15 years of watching Michigan football, have we not? Yes. Going back to the dark days of Rich Rod, where – he just wanted five warm bodies up there on the offensive line. And, you know, Denard, as awesome as he was just running for his life. And that's no disrespect to the guys that played offensive line, but it wasn't the same offensive line that we saw this last year in the greatest teams that Michigan's ever had that went on and won championships. They all had kick-ass offensive lines and defensive lines. And you can look at any other team in college football that won the big trophies. The common denominator is always the same. They're really good up front. And so it will be no different in Ann Arbor. And those young guys in the middle of that defense are going to complement the guys behind them so that they can play even better.
Yep. Your thoughts on Sherrone Moore? Would you have gone that direction to keep the continuity? And do you think he deserved that opportunity?
Absolutely. Yep. No doubt. And I think there were some questions. Obviously, if you took the suspensions away, whether they're self-imposed or the Big Ten one when Jim was gone, and Sherrone didn't have that rehearsal, if you will, which wasn't really a rehearsal. It was a in the fire interview process there from the Penn State game through Ohio State. I think you might feel a little bit different, but it certainly looked and felt like clearly the guy knows how to call a game. He knows how to develop an offensive line. He knows his team. You can see the interactions, the feeling, the familiarity and the love on the sideline. You can see that. So I felt like absolutely Sherrone had earned this opportunity. It made perfect sense. I don't think that it would have bode well for Michigan to go out and try to reinvent the wheel from someone on the outside to come in and make too many changes. This is about Sherrone keeping going what was built while Sherrone was there with Jim Harbaugh. And we just take the next step. Having gone through it myself, Gary Moeller takes over. He wasn't Bo Schembechler. He was not the same person. And Sherrone has said, I'm going to be me. And that was under the direct advice of Jim Harbaugh. And we fully expect there'll be some changes that we will see on the outside looking in. Most of the changes we won't see because it'll be inside the building. But the fundamentals of winning Michigan football will be the same.
Yeah.
And so I feel really good about the hire. I do. I think he's done a great job and deserves it.
Yeah. And Jim Harbaugh's legacy. And I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to pick your brain here when we're done for an article in the magazine, the national championship issue. But basically, it's a tale of two eras with him, right? Before 2021 and after. And he came close, right? And he won a Big Ten East championship, shared it with Ohio State. I think I still have your T-shirt that you refused to accept from 2018, I think it was. And so Big Ten East co-champions and a banner for your basement.
Yeah.
However, your thoughts on his legacy and how you think he'll do in Los Angeles? Because to me, this guy's a winner. I think, a lot of people question, is he going to have the passing attack? I think this guy has adapted everywhere he's been. He's going to have a good defense. And he's no spring chicken, but I do think he's going to be successful.
Yeah. Well, Jim being 60 years old, and he said so publicly, the clock is ticking on his time as a football coach, because it takes so much out of these guys to do it. I'll answer the second question first. I think he's going to do well in the NFL. He's done well everywhere he's went. He's got an incredibly talented guy quarterback there. They'll fill in the pieces around him. And I think the Chargers will be in the playoffs here in no more than 2 years. They'll be a playoff team, even in that division.
Yeah.
And so I think they're going to be just fine with Jim Harbaugh. As far as his legacy goes in Ann Arbor, the guy accomplished what we all wanted him and expected him to do when he was hired. It just took, for some of us fans, it probably took, 5 years longer than we expected. I think a lot of folks thought, he's here, all of our problems are gone, and we're going to be national champions in 3 years. Well, it took nine. And nonetheless, it felt great in the end when we did it. And there was an evolution, as you say, Ballast. There was an evolution. From my perspective, I look back at it and I go, man, the fundamentals of how he was recruiting and the guys we were bringing in, it just felt like the first half of his tenure in Ann Arbor, we were recruiting and trying to compete and competing in some cases with the best athletes in America to come to Michigan, wear the uniform and play football. And yet the results weren't working and we were getting Ohio State rubbing our nose in it every year, losing by 30 points. And it wasn't close. It was just something missing. And part of that was the X's and O's on defense. I think Don Brown, for as great as he was against Bowling Green and Central Michigan, was not all that great against Ohio State and some of the other teams. So you make a big change halfway through his tenure, and you go get a professional defensive coordinator from the Ravens, and you change. I think there was a change in the way they recruited football players. So you went from great athletes that played football in the uniform to finding great football players. And you look at Mike Sanderstil as no better example of a guy who may not have been at all the top of the recruiting lists, but holy shit, Ballas, one of the greatest football players to ever wear the uniform in Ann Arbor, and guys like that will take you a long, long way to winning championships. And that was the difference. I think there was a shift in the kind of player they wanted and who those guys were and what kind of team mentality they had together. And you mix all those things together, you inject the right X's and O's from an NFL mentality and all the other things and the motivations that Jim put together, and just sick and tired of being beat by Ohio State with that Aiden Hutchinson led season, where that changed, and then the goals went up a notch. And then it didn't work so well against Georgia. And then all of a sudden we got beat by TCU, but the goals didn't change. And it's like everybody grinded in more and they dug their heels in more because they felt like we're so close. And they finally did it in spite of all the distractions and the problems that were thrown at them this year. It's an incredible era of Michigan football in the last 4 years, as good as it's ever been in Ann Arbor with the greatest group of guys to ever wear the uniform in that 2023 team.
Wow, is that saying something or what? From one of the greats here in Doug Skeen, and now Ohio State spending $20 million to try to counter that. We'll see how that works.
Hey, good luck. Good luck, fellas. I've been watching that one too, Ballas. They got all kinds of great guys on the edge, but I don't see them getting the best O-line and D-lineman.
I don't either. It's going to be fun to watch. He's Doug Skeen. Doug, thank you very much for your time as always. We will get back to you probably in a couple weeks, and we'll break down some offensive line play, but always appreciate your contributions.
All right, Ballas. Go Blue.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.